Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast, named after the fictional small town found in several of author Michael DeCamp's books. This podcast explores anything related to creativity. You'll hear interviews with creative people, such as authors, artists, performers, and entrepreneurs, sprinkled with friendly banter about any number of topics, all of which attempt to view the world through the lens of creativity. Turn up the volume and enjoy the latest conversations in Cutter's Notch.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of Season 6 of the Cutter's Notch podcast. We're excited to be here. I'm your host, Mike DeCamp, and I'm here with your other host.
Hi, it's Nancy DeCamp. And?
And we've got some special guests who are returning for us again this year. Angela DeCamp, former co-host from way back when. And Andrea DeCamp, who has been a host with me on a couple of times.
A few occasions.
Yes.
A few
occasions. They are holding us here against our will.
Yeah,
you can hear this.
The door is locked. Send help.
And we're going to do our annual year in review episode to review all of the wonderful and maybe sometimes not so wonderful things that we did or saw or indulged in 2025.
Which is really good timing, even though it seems a little bit later than usual. It's like, this is when you're doing your taxes anyway for 2025. So why not think about all of the fun things?
Touche. Touche.
Perfect time to reflect.
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect time.
Perfect.
So we have been on hiatus for a couple of months now. We took a hiatus starting before Thanksgiving. And we got through the holidays, and I survived the holidays.
Barely. Some detours. Barely.
I had a little, let's just say it was a medical issue, which took me out of commission for a while. So it was good that we took some time off. But we're going to start off with our creative indulgences.
All right. Mike, tell me.
Go for it.
She always does that. She always tries to get me first. Well, this time I'm ready for you. So the creative indulgence that we indulged in, you and me, last night.
Are we talking current or last
year? Yeah, these
year?
Are current.
Current, what okay. are you current?
Yeah.
Well, I just want to make
if
sure.
If you listen to the podcast, you would know.
Yeah, but it is a year in review, to be fair. It's a legitimate question, daughter.
The whole episode is about creative indulgences from last year. So this is the current one.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify. And make sure that I was on the same page.
Typical well, you're here. Virgo. You're on that page. So Nancy and I don't go out to very many movies. We used to a lot. Almost every week or every other week, we would go to a movie. I used to go to late night movies with my buddies.
I get it. You're rich and popular.
Not nearly as popular as you, but richer than you.
Oh, wow. The boomer to the millennial. Oh, no. Yeah, we know.
So at any rate, we don't go to many movies anymore, but we decided to go to a movie last night.
Yeah, I showed him a trailer and I thought, oh, he'll like this. There's some action in it.
And Nancy's like, yeah, I want to see that. And it's called Send Help.
This is, by the way, the third time I'm hearing them retell this story, so it made an impact.
Well, somebody should have sent some help to the people who made that movie.
It's not good.
And this is like, I think between Nancy and I, we got four thumbs down on that one. That was not a particularly great, it's 2 hours we'll never get back.
Right?
Yes, It was gory and bloody for no particularly good reason.
It couldn't decide. The plot could not decide what kind of movie it wanted to be.
Yeah. Was it an action flick? Was it a comedy? Was it a drama of some sort? You know, it's like, it was like,
anyways,
what was that old movie with Melanie Griffith? And she was like trying to become a
working girl.
Working girl. Yeah. So it's kind of like Working Girl meets.
Working Girl is so good.
I'm not panning Working Girl.
You got me panicked there. I'm not worried. I was clutching my pearls.
Relax. Take a breath. It's like Working Girl meets
Psycho.
Rob Zombie's Halloween or that kind of thing. It was terrible. It was, Nancy, would you agree? It was a terrible movie.
It is a terrible movie. I think that some of the actors did very well in their character pieces, but the characters were not developed. The story wasn't developed. And as Mike said, it was just confusing. What kind of movie does this trying to be?
So you guys are not Dylan O'Brien fans. Or Rachel McAdams.
Rachel did a tremendous job in her role.
Yeah, they did great jobs. The actors did great jobs in their role, but it's just like, what? Yeah, why?
Why are we doing that? Like, well, I don't want to go any further.
That wasn't an indulgence. So for those of you who still choose to go and see it, maybe you can let us know.
Yeah, more power to you.
But we would not be recommending that one.
Yeah, not high.
So that wasn't a creative indulgence, or it was?
Well, it was. It just
it was certainly creative.
And it was an indulgence.
But it just wasn't a good one. It
didn't satisfy.
Just not one we'd recommend.
Fair enough.
Nancy?
So my creative indulgence, I have done a new twist to like New Year's resolutions, focus, what goals, whatever. I don't always do resolutions, but I usually do kind of a focus or a theme that I'm working on for the year. And this year I created a couple of bingo boards and I put things on there like creative indulgences or things that I like that would bring me joy. I have several squares of like music, whether we go to a concert or something. I've got some travel on there. I've got volunteer on there for the times that I volunteer each month kind of thing. And then I have another one that's related to projects around the house that I'd like to do, need to do. And so in an effort to make keeping on track fun, I have two large bingo boards in my office that I'm coloring off as I accomplish things. And I figured that's a creative way.
Yeah, what are you going to do if you get a bingo?
I'm going to jump up and down and dance and yell, bingo.
I'm just like imagining you doing this home alone, like looking in the mirror, high five yourself a little.
Well, and I'm looking at it too. It's like strategically, because you know, like I have multiple music and multiple volunteer things on. Like, which square am I going to color next? How close am I to getting a bingo kind of thing? So that's my creative indulgence. I've created a creative way to focus on things I want to focus on this year.
Yeah, I love that.
Nice.
Absolutely.
We're going in, I don't know what order we're just going around the table. Yeah. Andrea, you'll go next.
Yeah. So this year, 2026, I would say watching the first four episodes of Bridgerton could count as my creative indulgence. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been really enjoying them so far. And I always look forward to the Bridgerton seasons that come out. So
Shonda Rhimes does a great job the music and the artistry and the
it's cinema. Just like it's fun and fluffy, but it also taps on like different issues that face the world. I really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. So Bridgerton.
Cool.
Well, I'm dating five different Chinese guys.
That started last year.
Yeah, but it's current as well.
It's a current indulgence. Ongoing.
Okay, it's just what came to mind. Okay, because it's really random. It doesn't fit into a category. And it's a little embarrassing, but I'm going to lean into it. Playing this game called Love in Deep Space. And it's like a fun pseudo-dating gotcha game. Amazing. Where you get to like date these different guys that actually treat you well. And that's like that's the fantasy of it all.
Aren't you married to one of them?
Yes. sort of. It's part of the storyline. There's a storyline. You also get to battle aliens. It's a good time.
So there's adventure.
Let's just be clear. This is a game and not real life.
It is a... Well, so... I could date a guy in real life if I wanted to.
That is true.
She could.
And you have.
And
even in the recent past. Yeah.
So there. But it's honestly, it's been kind of a fun game. I'm probably actually about to quit. I've been doing it for about a year now.
You've said that a few times.
Yeah, I have. But it's like, I'm kind of burning out on it. But it's been fun. It's kind of a creative sort of, I guess, game. It's like a story, but it's also, you know, there's interactive elements. They added in this like house that you can build, kind of like in The Sims where you put furniture around. Oh, I remember
The Sims game you guys had. Yeah.
So
I still have Sims.
Andrea still plays that. But
Sims,
yeah.
Sims 4.
Anyway, that's my that's creative, your
creative indulgence at the moment.
All right. Well, let's go back to 2025. So shall we start with books? Let's start with books.
Okay. We love books. This family loves books.
I think anybody who's heard this podcast is probably
they kind of got that.
Yeah.
I will say it's always difficult to choose a favorite in this category.
It is.
It is, but this year I feel like I clearly can.
Oh, mm-hmm. Good. Yeah, I think so too.
Good.
good job.
Angela, why don't you go ahead? Since you went last on the last one, why don't you start talking to us about the books that you really liked or that stuck out to you this year?
So I had very few 5-star reads this year. I don't know if I'm just getting pickier or if I just, I don't know, haven't read as many good books. There was like a top three, but the number one that I enjoyed the most, I think, was Bittersweet by Hattie Williams. And it's just, it kind of like struck a chord with me in a lot of different ways. I like this sort of coming of age style of book. I think it told a woman's perspective of a story that, I don't know how to articulate, but it's just like a lot of women experience, but nobody really ever talks about. Mm-hmm. And I found it really like, it just really hit something inside of me. And I kind of like could not stop turning the pages and reading it. So I found that really good. And I'll give a second place.
Okay.
The second place was Project Hail Mary, which I don't want to spoil because I've given that book away as a gift. But if you are an audiobook listener, and you'll probably hear this from a million other people, it's worth listening to audio if you're interested in listening to audiobooks, just because, and I can't spoil it, but there are reasons. You will know if you listen to it. The fun thing about that one is that Project Hail Mary is going to be a movie. I think it's getting released theatrically.
I heard that.
Yeah, in March. And Ryan Gosling's main character. So,
I didn't realize that.
Amazing. Yeah, you should watch the trailer.
I will do that.
Don't, Dad. Because you should read the book. Don't watch the trailer. Did you watch the trailer?
I don't know. I can't even remember what you were talking about.
Don't worry about it.
Well, it's the story of our lives.
Real riveting today. So there you go. Those are my books of 2025. I think Bittersweet was number one for me.
Cool.
Love that. Well, shall I go?
Go for it.
Go for it, Andrea.
So I put three down, but I'll share two. So first is First Time Caller by B.K. Borison. It's a rom-com, but it's inspired by Sleepless in Seattle. And so it's just this really interesting story about a woman whose daughter calls into a radio show to get her romance help. And then she ends up joining the radio show, and people get invested in her love life, and she has this dynamic with the radio host. So it's very fun, a very interesting one, and I liked it. And then finally, Funny Story by Emily Henry.
That one was so good.
It is.
That
I knew I
been
told
also
you
a five star.
It's one of my five stars, but it's so good.
Mom's like adding to her reading list as we go on.
Funny Story. It's these two people who were dating separate people who were like best friends, and then they get left by those people. And so they become roommates and they have to figure out what that looks like.
And it's kind of a funny story.
It is funny. I really,
I like funny,
but yeah, I would say those two. And then the third is a sequel to Allie Hazelwood's Bride, which is called Mate.
I'm actually thinking about listening to Bride and Mate on audio next.
Ooh, let me know how it is. Yeah,
I'll keep you posted.
Interesting.
There you go.
Go for it, Nance.
All right. So 2025, I would say I have four quick books. Two of them went together. One is Roar and the other one is The Next Level by Dr. Stacey Sims, who I've gotten a lot of interest in this last year, just in terms of women's health, fitness, and approach, especially as whether it's pre, perimenopause, postmenopause, there's a lot of data that she has collected and shared, which has been very, I'm interested in health. I'm interested in fitness. I'm interested in what I do at my age now to be ready for 20 years from now, if I'm still here and everything. So I leaned into those early in the year. Second book I have not finished, I just barely started reading, is Don Quixote de la Mancha.
Oh,
in Spanish.
In Spanish. That's a challenge.
Yes. Yes. So I had to travel to a Spanish speaking country this summer for work. And I thought this would be fun just to enhance. I was doing the whole practice, my Spanish language to go down there and such. But so I've started that to muddle my way through, and it's much slower.
It is a challenge.
I do think it helps you with your comprehension, though.
It does. And obviously I know the story. So in general and such.
Well, and I know I did that
or tried to do that when I was in school. So it's definitely a good challenge.
Yeah. So that, but I will say probably the most impactful and book that I loved most this year. And I read a lot of fluff. I probably read 2 books a week approximately, but I would highly recommend The Invisible Hour by Alice Hoffman.
You've talked about that with us before.
I have, because it's a historical, and here, I'll just read you the description. How's that?
Here we go. Amazing.
It's a historical and magical realism novel about a teenage girl, Mia, who grows up in an oppressive cult-like community in Massachusetts, where she discovers forbidden books, including The Scarlet Letter, which mirrors her own life and leads her on a journey through time to meet Nathaniel Hawthorne. The story explores themes of love, motherhood, and the power of literature, as Mia's mother, Ivy, had previously escaped her own family to join the community, and Mia's reading of Hawthorne's work blurs the lines between fiction, reality, time, and her own fate. And it was just a lovely story, the way it rolled out. But it also, in the back of the book, it gives you references. Okay, once you've read this book, now you should read The Scarlet Letter, which was a requirement when I was in high school. And then there's another book about Nathaniel Hawthorne's sisters. So it kind of correlates what she went through and such, his writing of The Scarlet Letter, and then his life with his sister. So real time kind of things around. And I did a book, a couple of years ago that were that way. One was about Hemingway during the time period that he wrote a particular book. So it had you read both the books back to back. Now, that was interesting, but I would say highly recommend The Invisible Hour. Very enchanting story.
Nice.
Very cool. Well, I guess it's my turn, and I will say I want to share the last book that I read in 2025 because I want to give a shout out to my friend Stephen Petty. The last book I read in 2025 was The Words to the Music Inside My Head, Lyrics and Poems, and it's a small little book of poetry that Stephen Petty has put out. It was his very first book. And I met Stephen at the Christmas Gift and Hobby Show a year ago, and he was selling it there. Since then, he's published a second collection of poetry and lyrics. And I ran into him at the Irvington Halloween Festival.
Yep.
And then we worked side by side at this year's Christmas Gift and Hobby Show in 2025. And we traded books. He wanted a copy of My Abandoned Hope, and in exchange, he gave me a copy of his first book. And so I enjoyed that quite a bit. Now, the books that I seem to have gotten into the most in 2025 is really kind of a carryover of 2024. In 2024, I read the book Holly by Stephen King. And it's about a character, Holly Gibney. And I was so intrigued by that character that I went back and I started reading the backstories, the other stories where she has come up. And she starts off in the Bill Hodges trilogy, which is Mr. Mercedes and a couple other books.
You're saying a lot of words, and I'm like, I don't know what those mean, but I'm glad references. You're enjoying
it. Well, you're kind of understanding how I was feeling when you were talking. So, you know, it's like I didn't get any of what you were saying. So anyway, these are the books that I read with the Holly story in them this year. There was, let me see, go back here and find the right one. I think the first one I read was Never Flinch, which was Holly Gibney number 4. I read none of these in order. It's like none of them in order. And then I read The Outsider, which was the first full Holly Gibney story. And then the third one was If It Bleeds. And that was a short story, part of a collection from Stephen King, but these are all stories from Stephen King. So if you're listening out there, unlike my daughters, you probably know about Stephen King and some of these stories.
I know who Stephen King is. You're referencing other material that I also haven't heard of. That's where I'm getting lost. Like, okay. It's not that I don't.
Well, if you'd listened to the podcast last year, you would have heard some of these. So
they did. They have listened.
Anyway, literally.
I'm just reflecting the picking on that we did earlier. Okay. So at any rate, those are some of the books that I read. And I just really got into this Holly Gibney character. I mean, she starts off, she has a story arc where she starts off as kind of like that character in that crazy movie that we panned. She was a real awkward, kind of socially awkward, but kind of brilliant in her own way. But her mother had kept her down, and she had all this, she was full of self-doubt.
Mothers.
And
all this.
Yeah, but she had managed to, with the help of the Bill Hodges character, she had managed to kind of pull herself out of that. And she's become quite a successful kind of private detective. And of course, she ends up in some predicaments with some supernatural characters with Stephen King, after all.
That tracks.
But it was, it's just been fun to watch her develop and the story arc around her. And I really hope that Stephen King writes a few more Holly Gibney stories. So I'm kind of a big Holly Gibney fan right now.
I feel like I wish that I would have said, hey, take a shot every time you hear Holly Gibney, because from the beginning of the podcast to now, people would be totally, totally slashed.
I should have known this was going to be a pick on dad kind of show. Oh,
that's exactly what this
I'm
is. Feeling,
Nancy's playing the tiny violin, so... In that case, we'll go on to the next topic at hand.
Which is?
Music.
Music. All right.
And you get
music
to go first, Nancy.
Music makes me...
Oh, my gosh.
There she goes.
There's a section to edit.
No, you got to keep
it,
that in.
Yeah, you edit it, but add some, like, music to the back.
Yeah, hit that music on there. here we go.
I hate that.
Okay.
Sorry, but that was not my favorite.
So music in 2025. So I listen to a lot of different and eclectic kinds of things. And sometimes I will hear a song, or I might see there might be an artist that's performs on a, you know, media, whether it's social media or on television show, that I'll listen to. And I will say some music that's, I'll say music, I'm going to share music that has stuck out to me. And then I'm going to share concerts that were good this year. Dear Time is a song by Alison Brown and Steve Martin that I really love. It came out on their new album this last year. That was really great. And then I will talk about the concert. So that's the one song that I would say, oh, this really, it's very cool. Go listen to it. Concerts this year. We had the opportunity, Mike and I saw Dust Bowl Revival, which was a great little group that focused on a lot of music from the Laurel Canyon time period, music influence.
Late 60s.
We really enjoyed that. But one of the things I enjoyed too, we saw the Ukulele Orchestra of Great Britain. And on a whim, I've seen them before. They've come through town and thought, well, that's interesting. You know, it's different. And so we went to them this year, and I will tell you, it was entertaining. They were extremely talented, and I have never heard a better version of Highway to Hell than by the Ukulele Orchestra of Great Britain. It was just off the charts amazing.
I will back that up. That was a tremendous concert. In fact, I enjoyed both of those ones that you mentioned, the Dust Bowl Revival and the Ukulele whatever their name is from Great Britain. They were amazing.
Mm-hmm,
and like she said, they were very, very entertaining, very funny, but quite talented at playing the ukulele in a variety of music styles.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
It was good. The other thing that was just a wonderful musical indulgence this summer is I, once again, as I do most years, I saw Earth, Wind & Fire, but I saw it with my daughters. They got to go to a live Earth, Wind & Fire concert with me. And it was like awesome for music they've heard growing up or that I'm singing or dancing around to all the time. But to experience a concert like that with me, that was really fun. That was fun. We made people behind us mad, but
We were dancing and enjoying it like you're supposed to. And the people behind us were like, hey, wait, you should sit quietly while we watch the groove tonight. You know, it's like
we are outside. It is Earth, Wind & Fire. This is not the Palladium.
It's Boogie Wonderland.
Yes.
Exactly. They're dancing. I'm going to dance.
So, you know? Anyway, I kind of hope I farted in their direction.
Honestly, I hope so. But we also made some buddies at the concert, too.
Yes,
some other people who were. We formed alliances, really.
We did.
Yeah,
we did.
Like, we're going to dance.
But that was a lot of fun. I always enjoy their music, their concert, and it was fun to share it with them. And I will say lately music influence, because I'm excited for the near. Yeah, I'm big on the music side. In the near future, I've been listening to Bad Bunny.
Oh, yeah. You got to prep.
I've known of them.
You're predicting that in the near future you've been listening.
No.
In the near future, I have been listening to Bad Bunny. That was like, yep. It's like you're living in the future.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. She's a time traveler.
Get
on her level.
Yeah. Here, there, everywhere. So everywhere.
Are you prepping for the Super Bowl performance?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Some of it was, I worked in a South American or Central American country this past summer and met some people and I conducted some interviews. And one of the interviews was a little bit older gentleman who was saying in order to keep up with the younger staff, he learned to like Bad Bunny. Yeah. And so I was like, well, I'm going to check out Bad Bunny.
How long have you been listening to Bad Bunny?
Since this summer.
I love Bad Bunny. You never told us this? I want to talk to you about it sooner.
You're way cooler than I thought.
But I'm excited. When they announced that he was going to do the Super Bowl at halftime, I was like, yes, this is going to be awesome.
He's awesome.
He is very good.
When I learned about him was on Cardi B's album back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I like it like that. He's on there. Yeah. So, but yeah, I love that you've been listening to him.
That's a surprise.
Such a fan. Yeah.
I'm always keeping you on your toes.
You really are.
You are.
You are.
Those were the music highlights, I would say, this year. I'm also trying to I'm picking a new song every month and I listen to it every single day, whether I'm brushing my teeth or I just sit down at my desk first thing, just to kind of get my head and heart in the right place and such. And so I had a January song. I got to figure out a February song. Yeah,
got to figure that out. It's February 1.
Well, tell us what your January song was.
It was Bill Withers' Lovely Day.
Okay, very good. Well, all right, Andrea, it's your turn.
I guess it's Andrea's turn. I can tell you exactly who Andrea is going to pick.
Can you?
I can.
Don't say it.
I'm not going to. I want to let you have your moment.
So I do want to say that I really enjoyed going to the Earth, Wind & Fire concert and then the other concert we went to this year. But
what was the other one?
What was the other one, Andrea?
Lucius.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We did see Lucius.
That was a lot
again.
Of fun. We did have some disruptive people behind us, but the concert itself was a lot
of fun. I glared
at
them. It was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a blast. It's always good to see them. They have such beautiful harmonies. Mm-hmm. But I would say the album and artist that I've been most excited about this year, which is not surprising to anyone in the room, is Hayley Williams' Ego Death at a Bachelorette Party.
I just listened to her on a podcast recently.
I'm sure you did. She's been on a few. But
Well.
So Hayley Williams, if you're out there, if you want to be on another one, you can come on the Cutter's Notch podcast.
I think she's a little busy because what I was about to say before I was interrupted.
Okay. That's what we do on this podcast.
Yeah, I know. is that one, I have always loved her. I loved her in Paramore. First time I saw her was them opening for No Doubt when I was in high school. It was so fun.
Crazy.
Angela was with me actually.
What?
I think so.
Where?
To see No Doubt and
I
and
was
Paramore
there.
Opened
oh,
for
I
them.
Didn't realize I'd seen Paramore. I just totally forgot.
You sure have.
I'm cooler than I thought.
You're cooler than you thought.
but that was always, it's such a fun moment because I've seen them 3 times now. But Hayley released her 3rd solo album. And it's just incredible. Like
it is good.
It's so good. And I love it. I listen to it constantly. But she also, as of like recently, has started a new band with her collaborator on Ego Death at a Bachelorette Party. And it's supposed to be a little heavier, a little bit more more heavy rock.
More grit
music.
To it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I haven't listened to that yet, but I'm excited to. So that's what I've been most excited about. I also have really loved Olivia Dean and Sabrina Carpenter's new album. Loved those.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been listening to.
Good music.
Yeah,
good.
Thanks.
I guess it's my turn because Dad goes last. So.
Well, only because we started with your mom on this one.
Okay. Yes. That makes sense. I like that. Okay. Anyway, I feel like this isn't really going to surprise anybody, but.
I'm going to say Golden Hour Part 3 by AT.
There it is.
So last year I talked about getting into K-pop, getting into Stray Kids. I'm still like down with Stray Kids. Okay. Andrea and I are going to go to see the movie concert thingy.
Yes.
I don't remember soon. The experience.
Your dad and I are too.
I know, which I love.
We have our own biases.
Yes.
Too.
But can I finish my part of the story? I'm getting into, I want to talk about my bias. Okay?
That's what we do in this podcast.
We interrupt.
Yeah. But my opinions are more important.
Oh, okay.
So I have to take priority. Anyway,
oldest sibling energy.
And I'm right. So anyway, so I don't
know. Go ahead.
Fun fact, Angela is the only eldest sibling in the room.
And it is hell on earth sometimes. Nobody understands me in this family. Every single person in this room besides me was the baby of the family.
We are all a bunch of babies.
And I'm the oldest. I'm the firstborn daughter, and nobody understands my plight.
I'm the firstborn daughter.
Yeah, well, you're also the lastborn child in your family, so that takes away points.
It balances it out.
Anyway.
Go ahead, Ange.
It's more important to know that AT's is so good, and I love them, and they had Golden Hour Part 3, and they're about to come out with another comeback, which I believe is Golden Hour Part 4. I think like every album is like Golden Hour for some reason, but my bias is Sanghwa, which is my favorite, if you want to know. And then my bias wrecker is Mingi. Man, it's tough. And if you know, you know. If you know, you know. But I've been really enjoying it. I actually spent a bit of last week. I had some time off because of we had a big snow. I tried to learn one of the dances. And it's just a lot of fun. I just love K-pop because it's fun. So,
Mike. And you said if you know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the opposite of that is if you don't know.
You don't know.
Then you're just like me. That didn't make any sense to me at all.
Maybe it will once you see the Stray Kids concert.
Yeah, maybe we go to the Stray Kids concert.
Which, by the way, I'm going to throw this out there. I'm pretty sure there are going to be some concerts coming up soon. If anybody really loves me, they might help me get AT's tickets.
I'll think about
it. Just dropping it in there. I don't know how to do it. Everybody has a process. I don't want to figure it out. Getting concert tickets right now is like,
it's a challenge.
Trying to break into
it's almost like the olden days when people would camp out in front of the arena.
I would prefer 3 days.
Harder. I would prefer that.
Yeah, it's harder. Yeah, it's like harder. The tech issues. And like Andrea tried to get tickets to see Hayley Williams and she went through this whole process and she like, and it's the same thing like with all of the K-pop concerts. It's like, you have to be a member of this to get early tickets to this. And then you have to guess and hope and dream
and log in at this time with 1 foot in the air and
spray a drop of blood down.
Well, and I will say, like with the Hayley Williams stuff, she was trying to make it so that there were less like online scalpers and scammers and stuff like that. Unfortunately, the websites detected that I was an online scalper. And
why did they think that?
So because I probably was clicking too fast because there weren't enough, like there were only so many seats. So I was clicking to try and get it. And by the time I clicked it, it was gone. Whole thing. But also another thing they do now is that they have to resell all the tickets through the specific sites. So if I wanted to get tickets, which is always still possible, I may still get a ticket to a concert, but I have to go to the site that detected me as a bot and go to their resale process and look periodically to see if they have.
It's just annoying. Yeah. Like I wish it was easier to get concert tickets. Like, and that's where I'm at. It's like, I would love to see Stray Kids or to see ATs or just any number of groups. But that like the war that people go into, and that's what the other thing is. Like, I'm not super into BTS, but BTS is back and they're doing a big concert soon. Yeah. And I know that's a really big one for people. So it's just like, oh, gosh.
Well, and like my manager at work and we really vibe, but like something that's been helpful is like anytime I need to get concert tickets or she needs to get concert tickets, we'll rearrange our schedules so that we can make
cover
sure
for each other and so that the other person can.
So
do
like
it.
We moved our stand up meeting last Monday so that she could get in the queue for Harry Styles tickets.
Oh, yeah, he's back.
Yeah,
I saw somebody with a post about Harry Styles tickets and they were like legitimate ticket prices of $1,000.
Yeah.
It's
like that.
It's crazy. For some,
well, it's because there's a monopoly on it. Ticketmaster has a monopoly. Now I will say some artists are requiring that tickets are like at a static price point. So that's a benefit of Hayley Williams setup. I know Olivia Dean was doing that as well. So
and I was going to say, speaking of who's back this summer, John Mellencamp is going to be touring, doing some stuff. And I saw a reel of him the other day on a treadmill He's a smoker, in case you didn't know.
A heavy smoker.
A heavy smoker on the treadmill with a cigarette saying he was getting in shape for the concert tour this summer. It just struck me as funny.
That is funny.
And so very John Mellencamp.
Yes. Very, very John Mellencamp. It would be kind of fun to have John Mellencamp on the podcast, but I think we want to do that one via Zoom.
Like, we always
via
want to
Zoom.
Have people randomly on the podcast.
We want to do that one via Zoom because he'll want to smoke through it. So it'll be
you do it outside session.
Yeah, maybe that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
But is it my turn to do music?
Yes, music.
That's good because I don't have a lot to add. I didn't go to any concerts. I didn't listen to any new artists.
You saw the same one.
Well,
Glalie,
other than the ones
Dust Bowl.
I'm talking about besides those. Okay. I don't
you
have
just
anything
heard
to
his ringtone
add.
A few times, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I did this take this 2-week driving tour in June, and I listened to a variety of music on Pandora. But typically, you know, my listening choices are classic rock, mostly.
You got
70s,
new.
80s. Right, I switched over to Pandora's Rockopolis channel just recently. And so I'm more of a classic music guy. I did briefly get into some country music while I was driving, just for variety. But I don't know hardly any of the popular artists anymore. You know, I try to watch the Grammys and it's like I know two of the artists.
You gotta start listening to Bad Bunny, apparently.
Yes, apparently.
You really do. He's so good.
Well, I'm cool with that. I'd like to listen to Bad Bunny. That'd be okay.
Yeah, maybe I'll introduce you
to
him.
So I have no issues with Bad Bunny. That would be fun. So anyway, I don't have a lot to add on the whole music
thing.
I'll
add one last thing. It's related to music, but then it will segue us into movies and shows. Is K-pop Demon Hunter, the Golden Song, which everybody's probably sick of because all the little kids, but literally on Friday, I was doing a task on my computer that it's like, enter this, click, enter this, you know, kind of mindless, but and on a reel, I just kept playing Golden and over and over.
That's so cute.
I was sweet. Like, I like that song. And I enjoyed that show too. That was very well done. If you haven't seen it on Netflix,
I just
right?
want to say that back, you know, when we were driving to Indy 500 this year, because we do that every year, we were talking about movies and things, and the trailer for K-pop Demon Hunters had just come out. It was at the end of May. Yeah. And I was like, guys, you should see this trailer. I think it's going to be really good. I know, because you were there, and this is what I'm telling everybody, that I was like, you guys should see this. It looks really good. And you guys are like, oh, okay, whatever. Okay, I was like, I'm telling you, I think it's going to be good. And you're like, whatever, she just because she likes K-pop, haha, whatever. And now everybody loved it.
Yeah,
I'm going to just tell you that is her interpretation of our reactions. That does not mean that's accurate to my
thoughts.
They
had, like, no reaction. They were like, okay, like, yeah, we're going to the race. Who cares? Which is fair, but... But I was like really excited about it. I was like, nobody cares.
It really was a good movie.
Too many
it was
care.
A good movie.
And they're making a sequel, which I'm excited about.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. Gino better be alive. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'm going to shift it back to Mike since you've not let off. Yeah. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about TV?
Movies.
We'll do movies.
Focus on movies.
We'll do movies and then we'll do TV shows. So movies, like I mentioned earlier, I don't think that I went to a single movie in the theater in 2025. So all the movies that I saw were on Netflix.
Or on demand.
You know, it was a few on demand. There was Netflix. There's Prime Video. There's Paramount. I watched some movies across that scope. I think I might have even watched one or two on Apple TV. Most of them really didn't stick. It just didn't stick with me. I think the last movie I saw was Becky. On Netflix, which
was
I don't know what that is.
I haven't even heard of it.
She's a teenager. She's a troubled. It's shoot 'em up, beat 'em up, kill 'em.
Just for context, our mother is sitting there shaking her
look.
Head like. Well,
she doesn't like my choice.
We
of
don't
movies.
Have the same taste in movies. So I'm just
like,
saying.
It's like okay, that's okay. I don't make fun of her silly, stupid movies. Not that they're silly or stupid or anything, but. Becky's a troubled teenager and some people invade her home and she has to battle them. So it's a teenager against these four,
bad guys.
And, it was kind of fun to watch her battle them. And I think they made another one called The Wrath of Becky. It's on my list from Netflix that I apparently watched it, but I don't remember watching it. So
you got to rewatch it.
I guess I got to go back and find that one. But that was pretty entertaining, and that was toward the end of the year. So,
yeah.
You know, I was going through that whole sick thing, and I don't remember if I actually watched it in 2025 or 2026. I can't really remember.
Yeah.
I watched a few others. But I didn't, not very many of them really stuck with me. So it's like they don't stand out. There's not very many movies for me in 20, other than maybe Frankenstein.
Oh, and Sinners. Yes, that was such a good one.
So Sinners is maybe the best movie that I have seen in years and years and years.
Yeah.
And it's a vampire flick, but half of it is just a gangster flick. And then all of a sudden, halfway through the movie, it becomes this vampire flick. But the music and the choreography is amazing.
Yeah.
The blues of, you know, the 1930s and in the Deep South and a juke joint and that whole thing. And the story is so well written and it's well acted. Yeah. So I highly recommend Sinners for anybody who's not seen that movie.
It's got to be better than Send Help.
Oh, it's like a completely different universe. And then Frankenstein movie was incredibly well done. The Guillermo del Toro version of Frankenstein follows the book really well.
Yeah, that was done very well.
Yeah, follows the book really well. It's definitely the expanded storyline of the Frankenstein monster, and just in the special effects, the cinematography, the makeup, it's all just super. Just a super movie. So I think movie-wise, those are probably the ones that I would land on. So why don't we go in reverse order? So Angela, why don't you go next?
Why, thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
So this is a movie that I've actually recommended to you, and you still haven't watched it, and I'm deeply offended.
Don't remember it.
The one I'm going to mention is Wake Up Dead Man, A Knives Out Mystery. This is the most recent Knives Out movie. Yeah.
I've been thinking about watching it.
You got to watch it. It is so good. So obviously Daniel Craig is in all of the Knives Out movies as, Dubois? What is his first name now? I can't remember. Benoit Blanc. Benoit Blanc.
And the thing is that I didn't know that series existed, so I need to watch them all.
Haven't you seen any Knives Out?
I haven't watched any of the Knives Out.
Oh, Dad, you would love Knives Out.
The first one is obviously the number one. You got to see that.
Yes.
The second one, okay, but this one, the third one, is really, really good. So Knives Out Mystery. And it's obviously Daniel Craig is the main character. He spans all of the different movies. But Josh O'Connor is really good in this.
Love him.
But you've also got Josh Brolin, Glenn Close, Mila Kunis, Andrew Scott, like Kerry Washington. There's all these
big actors.
Yeah. And it's just so clever. Like I love, they're like kind of, it's sort of comedy, but it's also like mystery, and
it gives Agatha Christie vibes.
It's a good balance between the funniness and also just like really keeping you on your toes and trying to like, know, keep you guessing. And it's really, really good. I feel like this one especially, you will like, Dad.
Yes.
But yeah, okay. I highly recommend it. I watched it sort of on a whim when it came out this past winter, and I was like, we'll see. I haven't, you know, seen a Knives Out movie in a while. We'll watch it. I have nothing else on. And I was like, this is really good. And I kept thinking, oh, my dad is going to love this.
Yeah.
So you better watch it.
I better.
Well, and I will say, I watch the original Knives Out movie like every fall because it's like the perfect mood.
Oh, it's weird to me because Knives Out, the first one, I saw it in theaters. I'm like, they don't release these in theaters now. They're all Netflix movies. But Knives Out, the original one, came out in theatrical release.
So good.
So there you go. Andrea, you want to take it away?
Sure. So I was going to also mention Frankenstein because I really loved Guillermo del Toro's version of the monster. And just like, it's beautifully made. So if you haven't watched it, please do. But the movie that I do want to call out is James Gunn's Superman. I loved it. It was so good. It had the right amount of
A puppy.
There's a super dog in it.
There's a puppy in it?
It sure did.
I haven't seen it yet. It does have a dog.
Highlight.
You could. Am I going to finish?
No. We interrupt people in this podcast.
Yeah, I'm trying to talk about my thoughts. I let you guys talk.
Like half of this podcast is just us being mad at each other
But I think it just has the right amount of like lightness and humor to like deeper subjects. And I just think that like the
actors that they chose, David Cornsweet, like they're just so good and it really fits the story.
What's his name? David Cornsweet?
Cornsweet. Yes.
Yeah, it's a good old American boy.
Yeah, he's
David
Cornsweet. He was born in Iowa.
Well, there is a thing of corn sweat.
And I would do anything for the corn sweats right now. It's so cold.
Mr. Cornsweet, I apologize.
Yeah, you should. He's very attractive.
But it's funny.
Yeah, we know how. You know, we know.
Go ahead, Andrea.
That's it. Those are the two main movies.
Well, but Andrea and I are going to see some movies soon that we're looking forward to. Yes. So I'm going to go ahead and pre-say those because we'll be saying them in 2026. And actually Dracula counts because Dracula was a 2025 movie and it didn't get released until like this month in the US. So I'm going to say that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm kind of wanting to see that movie too.
Yeah, we're going to go see Dracula. We're also going to see Wuthering Heights, which also stars Jacob Elordi, who was Frankenstein's monster.
So good as Frankenstein's monster.
He's like come out of left field for me because when he was first in movies and things, I was like, oh, okay, I want a pretty face, whatever. But he's like really, really good.
Well,
and he's picking movies well.
He's got a good team with him. But I think he started in movies like Kissing Booth.
Yeah,
and
like
I think that's
like
why
sort of
we
cheesy.
Assume. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but then he moved to Euphoria and
he's
that
really
adds
showing
a little
his
bit more
skill
depth.
Set. Yeah.
And he's moving more and he's very well read. Like if you ever
good
see
job.
Interviews
and
with
he's
him.
Very tall and he has dark hair
good
and
job,
a very
you.
Strong jawline.
Yes.
He has two arms and two legs. Sewn on.
Better
they
to hold you
on,
with, my dear.
Sorry. By the way, we saw at the Send Help movie last night, we saw some previews, and one of them was for The Bride. It's The Bride of Frankenstein.
Yes, I did hear about that
one
as well.
Yeah, it looked
interesting preview.
It looked interesting. I don't know if it's enough to drag me in, but
it's better than Send Help.
Yeah, it would be better than Send Help.
You guys probably regret going for that.
We do. It's like, I won't never get those 2 hours back.
I do want to call out Mia Goth's performance in Frankenstein because
she's great.
She's amazing. She's in one of my favorite horror trilogies, which is the X films, Pearl, X, Maxine. And she's just such a good like scream queen, but she also has really good range elsewhere. She was in Emma. Anyways, that's all.
That's all.
Awesome. Nancy.
I already shared mine.
She got nothing else. It was just K-pop Demon Hunters.
Yeah, I said K-pop Demon Hunters. But then I have added color to the Frankenstein and the Superman. I did
see
those
movies. Contributed.
Okay.
She contributed.
She was part of that.
She doesn't sit and watch
what
movies.
What did you guys think of Wicked Part 2? Did you guys watch that?
I haven't watched it.
We haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, it was okay for me.
I was not a fan of Wicked Part 1. I mean, there are things about it that are just amazing and cool, but when you have seen the theatrical stage version, which encompasses the whole story, it's like it just left me wanting.
Yeah, I feel like splitting up the movie. This is how I felt. And this is how I feel about when they did The Hobbit in three freaking movies.
Yeah.
It's just like a money grab. It's like they just try to drag it out and add more. Like they added new songs to this part two. I'm like, what are you trying to do?
Can we talk about for a moment how Peter Jackson is going to do a Gollum movie? It's like he's literally
let it go.
It's like, move on, my dude. I love the Lord of the Rings.
Let it go.
I love the Lord of the Rings movie.
That's why it always feels like, oh, we just want more money. And that's how I feel about all the Avengers stuff. And that's how I feel about all the Star Wars stuff is like, none of this matters to me anymore. Like you're trying to squeeze a sponge that has no more water in it.
Don't you think if he does it really well, though, that the Gollum backstory would be pretty cool to see? I'd like to see it.
Part of what's good about these things is that there is a mystery to it that you don't really know. You have to draw your own conclusions. If you tell everybody every single thing, it's not fun anymore.
It feels like it's kind of washed out all of the beauty of the original stories, like extending the Hobbit movies. Like story and into three movies and making it into this whole big thing.
Like all
it's not Tauriel
it's
and all
book.
This stuff that didn't exist. The other piece of it is, and I'm going to say something controversial and you guys can just get over it.
I think the theatrical versions of Lord of the Rings are better than the extended.
Really?
And I will die on that hill. There is a reason.
They're better than what?
The extended edition.
Yeah.
Everybody always acts like, oh, the Lord of the Rings extended editions. That's what we're going to watch. Who needs to know that Eowyn is bad at cooking?
Does anybody really care? Like all these unnecessary scenes. I don't need to see
the mouth of Sauron.
When you type, although that is kind of cool.
It is cool.
But they, like, I don't think I saw those.
Oh. You should. You have to see it at least once, but compare it to the theatrical version. You have to tighten stuff up so that the plot moves along in movie format. It's going to be different than books, and that is okay. And it's still a nice long story.
I don't know how they could make the third Lord of the Rings movie any longer.
Oh, there's a way. They did. Mouth of Sauron makes an appearance.
It had three endings as it was. So the Mouth of Sauron, is that when the hobbits go back to Hobbiton?
No, he's like, you know, at the Black Gates, he comes out and he's like, guess what? We sort of killed your guy. But like, they're
lying.
He's like, oh, I see. He was dear to thee. Blah, 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 blah. Like with scary, he's got a scary mouth.
You do need to watch them at some point. Like, but maybe not
like,
all at once.
It's like, it's just Eowyn trying to flirt with Aragorn a bunch and then like sort of being off on the side. And Faramir is like, hey, I'm healing too. Let's fall in love. And it's just like, I don't know. Like, unnecessary scenes, in my opinion. I think theatrical cut was the right choice.
I love the theatrical cut. I enjoy the extended, but only when I'm like in a specific headspace for it. There you go.
All right, let's switch to TV shows. Who hasn't started off yet?
Technically,
Andrea.
So you get to go first.
Well.
I have two shows that I'm going to talk about.
Okay. The first was in the summer, and it was the final season of The Summer I Turned Pretty.
I know. It's a cheesy little teen romance show. Okay. But Nikki and I, one of my best friends, we, like, for a while there, would, anytime we watch an episode, would start sending each other memes, and it's just fun. Super cringy, but also just really lovely and cute, and it's just fun to watch. Now, the one I'm really excited about is Heated Rivalry.
Oh, I didn't even think of that one. I loved Heated Rivalry.
So good. It is about these two rival hockey players. It's based on a book series.
That came out in 2025?
It sure did.
Okay, then it counts.
I watched it over Christmas.
Will you come to my cottage with me?
But it's about these two rival hockey players who essentially fall in love. And they
are Shane Hollander and Ilya Rozanov.
And they're, one is Russian and one is Canadian. And it's a beautiful story. It's also kind of smutty, so be prepared if you're going to watch it.
If you're not comfortable with that.
Don't watch it with the children.
Yeah, especially because it is gay smut. So it's very specific. But it's really a really fun story.
It ends up being a really lovely story.
Yeah. I've heard people talking about the story.
It's so good.
Certainly not everybody's cup of tea, but I have heard it mentioned by several people.
I am obsessed. I have rewatched the series multiple times.
Andrea's like knows this more than anybody.
Okay. Yes. So that's what I'm enjoyed last year was Heated Rivalry.
It was good. Good one.
Very cool. Yeah. All right. So we'll go zigzags. We'll go to Angela.
Oh, so you
Angela.
Get to be last again is what you're saying.
Yes. Yes.
He has to be last, everyone. Okay. Well, then I'll take my time. I have a few things written down. One of them was Severance Season 2 came out last year.
Yes, it was so good.
It was really good. Obviously, the music is always good. I feel like it didn't get me as much as Season 1, but I still found it to be really interesting. I think the concept of, like, you know, splitting your consciousness and it sort of like the morality behind that kind of built upon it from Season 1. I found that to be really interesting. And obviously, like, Adam Scott's just a great actor. And I mean, everybody in there is so good. So
I'm excited for what they do next.
Also, I just feel like Severance is so winter vibes. It just always feels cold. I also have Nobody Wants This Season 2.
Okay.
Yes. And I think, so Nobody Wants This, I talked about this actually last time around on the first season one. That I really loved it. And it's about a relationship between someone who's sort of like not religious at all and a guy who's a rabbi and sort of how they navigate that relationship. And I think a lot of critiques about Season 2 was that they didn't do anything new with this season, that they were still kind of going through the same issues. And I think that argument is pretty true. But the one thing that I really loved about Season 2 was sort of the development of the relationship between the female main character played by Kristen Bell and her sister.
Yeah.
And sort of like what her sister's going through and that relationship. And it was just really interesting. And now there's a scene in one of the earlier episodes where somebody parks bad or something and the sister goes over and like keys the car and she's like, street justice or whatever. It made me laugh. So anytime somebody parks poorly, I like park kind of close to them. And in my head, I'm like, street justice, you know? And then the final one that I'll mention that I don't think anybody here has watched or probably will watch is The Apothecary Diaries.
I started it.
Yeah. Did you really?
I told you.
So you didn't
this.
Like it.
No, I just hadn't.
I see how it is.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway.
She loves to assume I didn't like something just because I didn't like.
It is the thing. I'll tell her, hey, Andrea, you should watch this thing. You will really like this. This is
I
so
watched
your speed.
It when
and
you
then
told
she,
me to.
And then she will wait like 27 years and then she'll, hey, I watched this. I don't even remember it anymore.
I want to be clear. I watched this almost immediately after she told me.
And you didn't
and
tell
I
me.
And I told her that.
Whatever.
I told her that. Well, she just forgot.
Well, I'm going to go into it. Apothecary Diaries. It is an animated series based off of, I think, a manga.
Yeah, I think so.
I feel like everything that I'm bringing to the table is like, oh, K-pop. Oh, this like Chinese dating
Asian,
app.
Asian
oh, like,
culture.
I was like, I'm not this person. I promise I'm not like
you
a stereotype.
Are, but not but fully.
I promise I'm not what you think I
You're
am.
You're like, you are, but light. You know?
Yeah, diet that.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's really interesting. And it's about a young woman who is like in this like Chinese court and she is like super into poisons and stuff. And so she becomes like a poison taster for the different like concubines and things. But it's also like mysteries. She's like solving mysteries. And so it's really interesting. And it brings in like yeah. Chinese history. And so that's really kind of cool. And it's just an interesting story.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just hate that I've become this caricature of a person. I like cool things too. It is cool. That is cool. But,
it is cool.
You know, mainstream cool things.
Yeah. Right. We all have our tastes, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Nancy. Pass.
So, I mean, everybody knows I don't watch, you know, the one show that I watch every day. The news. That's it.
The horrors.
But I will say, right, there are some days it's not the best thing to watch. But there are the one series that I got into last year, and then they came out with season three in the fall, was The Diplomat.
Oh, yeah.
And I was starting that out, you know, with Kerry Russell and the characters and stuff. The first two seasons just sucked me in. I'm like, this is interesting. There's intrigue. There's relationship stuff going on. There's this and that. The third season, too many twists.
Oh. Too many twists, too many marital struggles between the two main.
I hate it when that happens. It's like it's, a good show and then just, it just loses its spirit.
It goes in this direction and then that direction. And oh, but then there's this other layer you didn't realize. And then you got to think about that. And
I wonder if they changed writers or showrunners.
Yeah, I don't know. But it just felt
just
too
part
complex.
Of the, part of the story arc.
The story arc and the story itself I've really enjoyed, like I said, the first couple of seasons, and there were complexities to it. And so it kept you kind of on your toes about, well, this caused this, and what about this diplomatic relationship and this and that. But the third one just seemed, this is just way too complex. Just too many twists. So I don't know. We'll see the next season if it has any different type of storyline. But that's what I
think
to
it will. I think they set it up for next year to be a pretty exciting season. So hopefully it will be.
Dad, I enjoyed I can it with guess. Her. Sorry, Dad. What? I didn't mean to cut you off. I thought you were going to talk about what yours was next.
He is, because I'm done.
But I was going to say, I bet I can guess what your favorite is.
All right, take a shot.
Shooting Up McGee, the Wild West man, Longmire.
No.
You know, something that's a year like 1817 or whatever. That's what I mean.
You like those kind of western-y, old-timey.
I do, but I'm not.
Like Yellowstone.
I didn't really watch anything new with that this year.
Oregon
Trail. Not old-timey anyway. I did watch 1923, which was.
Yeah. On the Prairie. See, I told you it was a year name.
Yeah, well, that's a. Where I was going to go with that is the Taylor Sheridan's movies.
That's what,
so, yeah. Or TV or series. So, you know, he did 1923, which was a sequel to 1883.
See what I mean?
Which was a sequel of Yellowstone, prequels. Which is modern day.
They're prequels, yeah.
Yeah. So, I did enjoy that a lot. In fact, and the characters, you had,
old Joe.
No.
Prospector man.
I'm drawing a blank. So you had Helen Mirren.
Oh,
she played the matriarch.
Yeah,
she's pretty cool.
And you had
Harrison Ford
playing the patriarch.
He's pretty cool too.
And they did a tremendous job.
Yeah,
and then it was basically two seasons of 1923 to bring it to a conclusion, and the ending was pretty strong. But then I also watched another series with Helen Mirren called Mobland. And it was basically Irish mobsters. And she played, let's say, as good and matriarchally as she was in 1923. That's how evil and awful she was in Mobland.
She's got range.
So I just did this. She does. So that was the first season of Mobland. That was that was really pretty good. And really, I like a lot of the Taylor Sheridan shows. So he's got the mayor of Kingstown. He's got Tulsa King with Sylvester Stallone. That was really good. And so I enjoyed all those. We didn't talk. I'm surprised none of you mentioned Stranger Things.
I just sort of assumed everybody else would say it.
You know, Stranger Things, you know, finished up their whole show at the end of December.
Yeah. Good ending. Or what'd you think of the ending? Good or not good?
I didn't like it. And I don't think she's alive.
I have some thoughts. I will hold them back.
Why?
I liked it.
They're not positive. They fired their actual writer. Well, the original writer was married to one of the creators, and she divorced him and left.
And that's what happens when you treat a woman poorly.
So they ended up using things. They weren't finished with the script when they were filming, and they used ChatGPT throughout the process.
No. Really?
No, that's they used such AI.
How do you know this? Where did you get this
source? There's a documentary on Netflix.
Oh yeah, they're actually talking about the whole thing, right? Yeah.
That's so bummer.
I didn't watch that.
Also, I had a really hard time with David Harbour after all the weird Lily Allen stuff. Do you, you know, y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well, they were married and they had a messy divorce.
Yeah, and she had a whole album released this year that's like kind of about it, and it was just like kind of awkward. Yeah. But I do feel like I thought at the end of the release that happened in November, that was like the peak, you know, when like Noah, who plays Will, like has the telekinesis, all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh. Like I felt like that was the coolest part. And then after that, I was kind of disappointed with the ending.
I watched it all the way through and, you know, I enjoyed it. I very much enjoyed it. I enjoyed the ending of it. Were there some holes in the plot? Possibly. Yeah. And I would have liked to have had a clear, happy ending at the end. Not to give it too much away.
Or a sad one. I think it was a fully sad one.
I think it was, I think it left it in a limbo land that was kind of, it allowed you, if you believed in the positive side, you believed on the positive side. And if you believed the negatively, then it left you there.
I think they were afraid. They wanted to be everything to everybody.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I think
they didn't have the person who wrote the plot.
And technically like, it leaves it open to a sequel if they ever decided they wanted to.
Yeah, another money grab.
I liked that.
Sorry.
I'm not cynical at all.
I am.
Now, two other shows that are unrelated to that I enjoyed was The Lincoln Lawyer. I basically binge watched, I think, four seasons. I think the fifth season comes out in about a week or this coming week. I'm excited about that. I really liked that show. I didn't think I would. Honestly, I was like, I'm just looking for something to fill some time. And I watched episode one and I'm like, oh, wow, this is pretty good. And so I kept watching it. And I think I've watched, is it three or four seasons? And whatever the new season is, I'm going to pick it right back up. It's a really a good show. And the other one that I watched was Department Q, also on Netflix. And it's kind of a British crime miniseries. It's a detective thing. The lead detective is kind of he'd been shot in a police related shooting and he'd been off work, but he was kind of a jerk and people didn't like him, but he was brilliant. He's a brilliant detective. So they gave him cold cases and the cold case he gets, the deeper he digs, the more intense it gets. And then the final episode was off the hook. It was just really, really good. So Department Q is really, really good. Other than that, I mean, I watch a lot of television. I enjoy NCIS and NCIS Origins was a new show this year. This was pretty good.
You like the dad shows.
I like the dad show. Well, I'm a dad. Yeah. You know, I'm going to like those shows.
He's lean into it.
He's really feeling the stereotype hard. You know, he's leaning into it.
I'm leaning into it. You know, I'm like those, that commercial from Progressive, you know, people trying to become their fathers or their parents. Well, I am.
Yeah. One. I feel like I'm into my own millennial stereotype. I'm like the quintessential millennial. And everybody I work with is like Gen Z, like bridging on Gen Alpha, and they judge me hard, and that's okay, and that's their right.
Absolutely.
All right, who wants to draw the random question?
I feel like Nancy. I don't want that responsibility.
Nancy, I'll do it.
Nancy's drawing the random question.
I like that we had a segue for that. Okay, who wants a random question?
Well, believe it or not, we've been going for more than an hour.
Yeah, I believe it.
This is a good one for this podcast.
Okay.
Is there any talent that seems to be passed down in your family?
Is there any talent that like, seems to be passed
down?
Read it again, but more into the mic.
Is there any talent that seems to be passed down in your family?
Yeah. Being a jerk.
Interrupting.
No, I think for you and I especially is probably flexibility. That's like almost like a genetic.
Yeah, yeah.
But some of us are more than others. I'm just saying.
You know, I will say, because I will go back even through generations, I think there is an element of creativity, because I think of things that my grandparents did artistically, and my dad specifically was artistic in some certain areas. So I think that there is an element of creativity that has been throughout our family.
It also flows down through the DeCamp side too. We have artists and photographers and various other creative people in the DeCamp line as well. So I'm not the only author either. My cousin Rosalie has published 2 children's books.
Shout out, Rosalie.
I also think that there's something to be said. It's not just about like, oh, what have you gotten from your genes or whatever? I think nurture is a big part of it, because I think everybody has the aptitude to tap into creativity in some way, but having an environment that welcomes that and wants it is really a game changer. And I would feel like I've always been really grateful to you guys for supporting me, like studying art in college and, you know, even just like I had an aptitude and you're like, oh, okay, well here's some art classes, have some fun, or here's some art supply. Like I honestly think, not everybody, especially in our family history, has had the flexibility and the just the money and the ability to pour into that in the way that we've been lucky enough to. So
I would agree.
I think that that plays into the creativity going
which
along.
Even now, lines. Because I've been doing tap dance, which is something my mom's been doing. And I did that as a little kid, but I picked it up early last year and spent the year off and on going to classes.
And I've been learning how to twerk.
She has
me
been.
Too. That was a creative indulgence. The girls during the holidays.
Maybe I should try it.
Yes, you should.
But I don't want
to. There's
see
an it. Image you won't be able to get out of your head.
Just do it on your
but
own.
But we
Dad.
Did during the holidays. There was one night that the girls took me to this dance studio that they take different lessons from for a twerk class, which means to twerk and sweat. And it was kind of a hip hop kind of dance thing. So it was. Not very
I'm
good at
really
it, but it was
happy
fun.
Happy that I've learned how to do this with my body, because I have wanted to be able to twerk forever. I'm like, I have to find a way to be kind of cool sometimes, not just do like the quintessential like white lady dance at the wedding where it's sort of like step, snap. You know, I want to do other things. And so I'm feeling very encouraged by that. It is a lot of fun. That same studio is where I take tap classes, which today I did a placement day.
Yay.
Where I'm going to do a showcase in April, and they're just going to let me know what level I'm at.
And I was a tap dancer.
Yeah.
So she won competitions, ladies and gentlemen.
She sure did. And I will not.
Number one in the city.
That's right. Got the trophy.
Somewhere.
Dad, what about you? Like, I mean, I'm thinking about what are things that you've identified from your past that you feel like you've carried through?
Oh, you know, it's just like I mentioned on the DeCamp side, there's been various artists and there's even somewhere distantly, there's another DeCamp who's written science fiction books. L. Sprague DeCamp, I think is his name. And I need to probably get his book eventually. He's long gone.
It's not one of those like people you found on Facebook randomly with the same last name.
Well, looking up DeCamp, you know, books, and basically, yeah, he comes up. He's actually well known in the sci-fi book world, but I've never read it. He's from a whole nother lifetime ago. But then, you know, there's just, you know, I've, I was thinking of my cousin June, who was, she was the artist that did the backdrops for the, was it New York?
The Metropolitan
Opera. Mm-hmm. And So there's just been a lot of like creative strains through our family over the years that I've noticed. And so it's a common thing from my side and also Nancy's side. And so you guys have inherited a lot of that. Beyond that, it's, you know, maybe making voices, you know,
yapping.
We could do some. We could do some strange voices.
That's okay. We're yappers. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I don't want it.
You know, it's interesting, though, too, when you think about family and the genetics, you know, versus the nurture side, the genetic side, because I've noticed it with us, just as our immediate family, but I've also seen it in other people that are related. The vocal qualities and harmonies that go together with people that are related are very unique and tight.
I feel like we all sound different. And then I listen to a podcast. I'm like, we all sound the same.
Yeah,
yeah, like nobody well, knows that, if this is Angela or Andrea.
That's true. Well, and that's the thing we used to, growing up when we lived at home, people would call us and
they think we were the other person.
Yeah.
And it makes me mad because I feel like I'm different.
You are very different.
Well, I will say this. Different. I think that we have different voices, but we've got similar like ways of talking.
I don't know. You should listen back to this, and I think it'll sound like you're having an argument with yourself. Probably. You're probably right.
Folks, the reality is there's only one of our daughters on the other side of the table.
Surprise!
Well, folks, it's almost 10 minutes after an hour, so we've been an hour and 10 minutes going. So, first of all, let me say, Angela and Andrea, thank you so much for coming on the podcast again this year, doing our annual year review.
I enjoy this.
And it's fun. It's fun to banter together.
It's also fun to share with people. This is literally how we communicate when we're together.
It is a little humbling because I feel like I'm going to have some cool things to contribute. And it's all this weird nerdy stuff that I was like, I guess not.
We could almost set up the microphones around the dinner table and just record our conversation.
This would be what you would hear.
It's kind of how we talk to each other, which is what makes it kind of fun. But this has been great. And I think it's been a good review. So let me just say this. Thank you, everyone, for joining us and listening in on our little family bantering. Thank you, Bill White, here for post-production work you do. And folks, we're ready to get started with season 6. And I don't know who all we're going to have out, but we will have some great guests coming up in the coming year. So thanks again. And we'll catch you next time on the next episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast.
Do, 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 do.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast. Your hosts have been Michael and Nancy DeCamp. Michael is the author of several fantasy thriller novels and short stories that can be found on Amazon or ordered through your local bookseller. Visit www.authormicheldecamp.com to learn more. His most recent release, The Purveyor of Death, Doc Moon Book 1, is a classic young adult horror novel and the first book in a new series. It's guaranteed to keep you turning pages. Nancy is Michael's number one fan with a love and appreciation for creativity everywhere. The Cutter's Notch podcast is available through most podcast listing providers. Subscribe to catch each new episode as it drops. You can reach us by sending an email to michael@authormicheldecamp.com. Join us again on the next episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast.